I'm busy in the kitchen, of course, and while I get things done in here, we are going to talk about Biden's VP pick and see where it leads us. Stay here. Kamala. Kamala? Kamala? Kamala. Kamala Harris. Okay, enough with that. I think I got it straightened out. But if you're not familiar with the person, that would be a name that you would probably pronounce incorrectly, right? But because she's in politics and she debated Joe Biden and she was chosen as his VP, I think it's fair to assume that Joe should have known how to pronounce it, and I believe he did not do that correctly. But that's neither here nor there. People make mistakes. You can get tongue twisted. You may know how to pronounce it and still say it wrong. It happens. It's not the end of the world. But you know damn well that if someone like Kayleigh, the press secretary, McEnany, if she had pronounced Kamala's name incorrectly, that AOC probably would have sent a million tweets about the fact that it's not surprising that she didn't remember or she didn't care to pronounce it or learn how, because she sees all women of color as the help. But I digress. For some time now, I've been wondering, and not waiting. I wasn't on the edge of my seat or anything like that, but I was just curious, who are they gonna pick for the VP? This mystery VP. We already knew it was gonna be a woman of color, black woman. I don't know. I don't remember how they defined it, but so we knew that much. And I don't know when they typically announce these things, so I don't know if it's on schedule for a normal presidential campaign, because I never paid attention until now. But he chose her, and it's pretty interesting because I'm sure you've already heard how she said things about him during the primaries that were very negative and not the kind of thing you want to say. About someone that you agreed to run with, because if you felt that way then you should feel that way now, and it still applies, right? So why does it magically go away or disappear that she thinks that, without saying it straight out, that he's basically a racist, because he's what stood between her and her opportunities in life due to the busing, because of his position or stance back then on segregation. And the other thing is her track record, right, with mass incarceration. As we all know, we've heard it a million times. she put a lot of people behind, black men specifically, behind bars for petty crimes. Supposedly, allegedly, she suppressed evidence when it was trying to come out, when they wanted these cases overturned. She wasn't supportive of DNA testing to maybe clear these people. I think she put someone on death row. I really don't know the details on that, but I saw something in a video about somebody who said that, he was wrongly convicted because of her. And the two things that I don't care about is the fact that she's not African American, and liberals and Democrats are saying that conservatives and others are being petty about pointing this out, that it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter. And it shouldn't matter. But that's what they said they wanted to put in that seat. That's what Biden said he wanted, a black woman. So no, it shouldn't matter. But to the people who say it does matter, that there should be representation in the form of a black woman in that seat, that job, that position, well, she's not it. Because she's Indian American, as you know. That's how she was sworn in when she joined Congress. Her father is half Jamaican, half white, if I understand correctly. So that sounds more to me like someone who is of mixed heritage, and technically she is a woman of color, but African American she is not. I personally do not care about this. I want someone who will implement the policies that matter to me, no matter what their skin color is. But if the point was for her to be someone who, let's say, was in touch with the people she's supposed to represent and understand, let's say, the black struggle and all that, she doesn't check that box either, because she was raised in Canada and went to prestigious schools, and she seems to be someone who's far removed from that experience. And in general, if you notice, there never is a African American even when Obama was president, who was not half this or half that, with the exception of Michelle Obama, and she was the first lady, not the president nor a VP. But moving on. It's the policies that I'm focused on, and even though she's being described as a moderate, everything she says sounds far left to me. The second thing is how she got where she is. There's rumors about her having an affair with a married man and all that jazz. I also don't care about this any more than I would care about it if it was a male candidate. Those things are not important to me. I know that people have an issue with cheating spouses or affairs or things like that, because they say if they lie about that, then they don't have any integrity and then you can't trust them in other ways. But, and then she's also pandering a lot, right? Because you remember when she was at the Breakfast Club while I saw that interview, and they were more interested in what kind of music she listens to or whether or not she inhales weed for some reason. And remember, people went to jail because of her for weed. So here she is, you know, talking about how she got high in college. She was listening to Tupac and Snoop. And again, allegedly, at the time that she was in college, I don't even think they had music out, is I think what happened when people were trying to fact check her statements. So it's just silly. And it goes back to the hot sauce in Hillary Clinton's purse. It's ridiculous. The pandering part. You know, you want to prove that you're down because you smoked and you listen to rap artists. And then when they asked her who was her favorite artist right now, she says Cardi B. Yeah. And supposedly her husband has ties to Big Pharma, which is another thing. Gonna have to research all that. It's just out of sheer curiosity, because I really don't think they're gonna win. I wouldn't bet everything I have on it, but I don't think so, because history has shown us that the incumbent usually wins. It's very rare that a president only does one term. So that's what Trump has on his side. And I think it's a steal. Also, the fact that with the riots and everything that's going on, even though what you hear on social media with all the Black Lives Matter stuff and the racial chatter and all that stuff, the kneeling, etc., even though that's everywhere you turn on social media, supposedly, how many times am I going to say that word? Apparently, this is not representative of the country or the average citizen. It's just a small fraction of the population, these extreme leftist people who are doing and saying everything that, you know, is, you know, we're seeing all the time on the media. And that it's not indicative of who's really going to come out and vote and what's really going to happen. And these people are referred to as the silent majority. And someone had said in a post somewhere else on these forums that I follow about politics now, that she was really surprised, because if you recall, everything American now is taboo or bad. You're not supposed to, you know, you should be ashamed to be an American all of a sudden, and you should denounce this country or not care about the flag or the holidays. There was a reporter standing in front of Mount Rushmore, where many presidents have been, other people have been. Nobody says anything to the contrary about them being there. But when the president wanted to go there and give a speech on July 4th, they made a point to say that he dare step on stolen land. And I really wanted to reach through my TV and steal her microphone and hit her with it, because she was being so ridiculous with that comment. Our history is our history, and that's what it is. Something doesn't become evil overnight just because you don't like the president. Biden was there. Obama was there. Bernie was there. They called it majestic and all that other stuff. And now all of a sudden it's stolen land. But I digress. My point is that all those things that they're saying are bad. I almost thought, oh my God, you know, now it's a bad thing to, you know, want to do fireworks or celebrate the 4th. People were saying that America sucks, it's not my holiday. All of a sudden, from one day to another, anything that represents America, they were like, this isn't my day, this isn't our independence. So when that was going on, I was visiting friends for July 4th, and I was really surprised by the fireworks that evening. They were out in full force. And it stunned me, because I thought, you know, if the country was taking a different turn and all of a sudden all these things were bad and negative, the fact that they were out there, you know, celebrating it, I guess was a good sign. And then that goes back to the comment that I saw that someone had left, that she never seen so many fireworks in all her years as she did where she's from on that day. And her father said, that's the silent majority. And basically that, you know, if you think that people are going to turn their back on this country because of your ideology or because what you think, and because you're saying that people are oppressed in 2020, that's on you. But there's a lot of people who disagree with that. And a most recent example of this was, again, with sports. I think it was soccer, Major League Soccer. They had kneeled, and they were in Texas, if I recall. And they actually had people in the stands, not cardboard cutouts. And they were booed. And the funny thing to me is that one of the players who spoke afterwards was so butthurt about being booed. And he was saying how it was disgusting, how they were ignorant, that everybody knows what they're kneeling for, and that they talked about it before they did it, and everyone was in agreement, and that one of his teammates apologized when everyone was booing. And I even think that some people in the audience went as far as to throw stuff at them, which is extra. I don't condone that. But I found it funny to me because here he is. He's there to play a game that he's getting paid to play. Fans are there to watch him play that game. And if he wants to take time out of his sport to make a statement during the anthem, then please don't expect people to not make their own statement, because they're entitled to that as well. And they disagree. They can't prevent you from doing that, but you can't prevent them from booing if that's how they feel. They don't like it. They find it disrespectful. They don't think that you should mix the politics in with the game, because once again, this is where you work, which makes me think, if you want to protest, why not just don't report back to the game? Go on strike. That's what people do. Don't people go on strike when they're not happy with their pay or whatever? It's not job related, right? So you don't want to strike. But why protest at the job? People who are out there protesting, whether you agree with them or not, at the very least, they're doing it on their own time. But when you're doing it during a game, again, this is your job. Can you protest on your job? I don't think so. If peaceful protesting was allowed at work, I don't know. I don't know how that would look, but nobody else does that except in this realm of sports. But yeah, he was really upset and he was hurt. And it seemed like he was out of touch with real life, because yeah, people have differences of opinion. What is the big deal? If you believe in this cause, like you said, that everybody knows what you're doing it for, you better be doing it because you believe it, not to impress other people, right? So do what you believe in, stand by what you believe, and don't worry about what anybody else thinks about it. I would have no comment about the booing if it was me, if I feel that what I'm doing is right and where I'm doing it is acceptable. Then hey, I don't really care. But it seems like these people are babies. Again, they're being paid to do a job, which is play a sport. And they want the fans to react a certain way. The very fans that are paying to watch them do the sport, now you want to tell them what to think and believe too? It doesn't make any sense. You're not there giving them free food or paying their bills, right? You're there to do something that they paid to see. And I don't think that includes, you know, protesting, but whatever. Same thing with the jerseys. I was watching someone else on YouTube say that if it was truly, it's pandering, it's not activism. Because if it was truly activism, you would be able to put whatever you want on your jersey or your helmet or your uniform. And an example of that is NASCAR. If I recall correctly, one of the players who wanted to put Black Lives Matter on his car did so. And someone else was allowed to put what they wanted. And I think they put back the blue. So there you go. Fairness. You put whatever slogan or logo or motto or movement or organization you're backing on your stuff. And let everybody else do the same. I mean, if we're going to go that route, if you're pro-life, maybe you want to put that on your jersey. You know what I mean? Or Jesus first, or Jesus matters, whatever it is. You open up a can of worms like that, and you can't tell people that only you're able to put what you are supporting on your stuff to advertise. Because at the end of the day, it's another endorsement of some kind. Except in this case, they're not getting paid for it. But speaking of endorsements, this reminds me of these athletes who, if you can imagine, they get paid millions and millions of dollars to do a sport that they're good at or that they love, and fans live through them to watch them play. And they get paid so much to do that job. And on top of that, they get millions more dollars endorsing products. And, you know, they say that a lot of these things, I don't know if it's LeBron or who else, whose clothes are made in third world country, and slave labor, child labor. I don't know. I cannot verify this information. I'm just repeating what I heard. But if that's true, then isn't he contributing to oppression of another form with people outside of this country? Which brings me to another country. How they say that his ties to China, on the other hand, as well as all of the people in the NBA, is something that they don't speak on at all whenever they're questioned. So they'll say, you know, they'll talk about systemic racism or oppression or whatever the heck is going on here in America that they think is is what it is, but they won't speak on, you know, what's going on in other countries that they do support, I guess, with their silence. And isn't silence violence? And I don't know really much about sports, but because of these ties with China, they're always saying how they don't want to upset the Chinese government or officials or whatever, because that's a lot of money. They're all in bed with them. And that's why they stay quiet on those issues, which again is hypocritical. And at the end of the day, this is what this is all about. Believe what you want to believe, but then don't turn around and then stay quiet about something else that's just as wrong or just as bad. As if America is the only place that has problems. As if racism is the only issue in this country. For instance, a little boy recently, and it was very upsetting to me, and it is anytime I hear about children. And whenever you bring up the deaths of these children, you know, through gang violence, they're just at the wrong place at the wrong time, they get hit by a stray bullet. Whenever I make a comment about it, people try to challenge me on that and say that all of a sudden, you know, people are caring about these kids dying when they never said anything before. And the truth is that the only reason why people are saying something about the kids dying now, if they never said it before, is because now it's constantly in the news cycle. You hear about the riots, the protests, and the kids that got shot where the crime is getting out of control because they don't have a good grip on things, which is Chicago. And I forget where else. I don't think it's happening in New York to the same level. But Mayor Lightfoot, she's always in the news for breaking records, you know, for the crime sprees over the weekend. And in the process, kids get shot. And most recently, in the midst of protest, there was a little girl in the car with her family, all black. And they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Shots were fired and the girl dies. I think that case was in Atlanta. So it just keeps happening over and over again, and now it's on the news. So the reason why people are talking about it now, if never before, is because you have, on the right hand here, you have Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, and then here are these little black lives, and they don't matter. So if you want me to ignore the obvious, then say that, but don't say that I only care about this now because, you know, out of the blue. It's just that it's coming to my attention out of the blue. Am I aware of every child that dies in America? Of course not. But George Floyd was brought to our attention, and that was newsworthy. And now that these kids are dying, when it comes up, you know, especially in the middle of a protest or wherever, that is also newsworthy. And if your movement is about black lives, the children don't count. It has to be a grown black man dying at the hands of a white police officer or any other white person for it to be a black life that matters. You know, this is a broken record. Many people have said this. I'm not the first one or the last. It's an observation that we're all making. Those are the only lives that matters. I think it's Jericho Green who says certain black lives matter. A little boy too, I think it was in Chicago, was shot walking across, you know, where he lives in the projects there to pick something up or playing, just whatever kids do. And his life was snuffed out. I think he was 9. And now more recently in the news, a little white boy lost his life. And I have to say it like that because it's because he's white, I think, that also nobody cares. They didn't care when the black kids died either. What makes it newsworthy is who the killer is, I guess. And it has to be a specific formula. The killer has to be white, preferably a cop, and the victim has to be black. If the victim is black, but the killer's not white, also they don't care. But in the case of this little boy, he was shot at point blank range. So it wasn't even a gang thing or a stray bullet. Someone actually killed him on purpose. No clear motivation, makes no sense. The killer is black, the boy is white, but they're friends and neighbors who socialized. So it doesn't make any sense. So we can remove the racial component from this. I don't personally believe that the boy was killed because he was a white boy. But you know damn well that if the child were black and the man who shot him at point blank range were white, that this would have been spun out of control into racial white supremacy type thing. You know, that hatred of black people. And it's so dumb because you have to know that even though racism exists and even though police brutality exists, it doesn't mean that racism was the reason behind a police brutality case necessarily or an arrest gone horribly bad. People mess up at their jobs. They sometimes use poor judgment. Whether or not you would have shot someone who took your taser and tried to, you know, shoot you with it, even though it's not a gun, you shoot them. It could have happened if the cop who did that, who happened to be white, this is another story in Atlanta, you might recall, if the assailant was white, it may have happened the same way. There are cases of police brutality where the victim is white. The statistics just don't line up. The cases of police brutality are not in a high percentage. There's a million other things that are. And so they're focusing on this as if, like LeBron says, that black men are hunted wherever they go. That all police officers do when they wake up in the morning and get dressed and put on that uniform is think, what black person am I going to mess with today? Which I don't believe is true. And contrary to popular belief, there are many, many, many black people who don't believe that either. And they have a very different opinion of everything that's going on. They actually want a police presence. And they don't support Black Lives Matter for many reasons. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they don't support Black Lives, because that, of course, would not make any sense. We all know that everybody's life is valuable, but it is the agenda behind the organization, which is different from the movement. And it's unfortunate that, you know, people like Joe Biden does believe that all Black people think alike. And he said as much again recently. First, he had told Charlemagne on an interview in the Breakfast Club that if you don't vote for him, you're not black. We all heard that. And then now he said in a separate interview most recently that unlike African Americans, with notable exceptions, his words, that Latinos are much more diverse and have different opinions about things. And I would have to agree with you, Joe. I do think that Latinos are quite diverse. But while you were paying us a compliment, you proceeded to insult black people. So tell me, who are these notable exceptions that you pointed out? Conservatives, perhaps? Maybe. In the meantime, he is excused for saying things like that all the time, always forgiven. Why? Because he has the numbers to back it up. Black people have been voting, and minorities for that matter altogether, so let's just say people of color, have been voting Democrat for years and years and years and years. And it's actually up there in the 90th percentile, so it's very high. That would give him enough confidence to say what he did. They have that vote, once again, for years and years and years and years. And for the life of me, I can't seem to figure out what have they done that's so great for people of color in all those years. Until the next time, chew on that. I have to get myself back in the kitchen. I have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich waiting for me. You know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, leave a comment. It's up to you. Ciao for now.